वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय। Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 2, Maharaj and Nimi meets the nine Yogendras. Texts 3 and 4. We can chant 3 in unison together, and then we'll chant responsively 4, which has the purport.
Tamekata tu devarshim vasudevo grihagatam Architam sukam asinam anivadhyedham abravit.
One day, the sage among the demigods, Narada, came to the house of Vasudeva. After worshipping Narada with suitable paraphernalia, seating him comfortably, and respectfully bowing down to him, Vasudeva spoke as follows. Text 4, word meaning, Sri Vasudeva Uvacha. Sri Vasudeva said, Bhagavan, O Lord, Bhavata, of your good self, Yatra, the coming, Swastaye, for the benefit, Sarva Dehinam, of all embodied beings, Kripanam, of the most wretched, Yata, as, Pitroho, that of a father. Uttama Shloka, the Supreme Lord who is praised by excellent verses. Vartmanam, of those who are fixed on the path toward.
Prevasudeva Uvacha Bhagavan Bhavato Yatra Shastaye Sarvadehinam Kripanam yata Kripananam yata Pitror Uttama Shloka Vartmanam Srivasudeva Uvacha Bhagavan Bhavato Yatra Swastaye Sarvadehinam Kripananam yata pitror Uttama shloka vartmanam Srivasudeva uvacha Bhagavan bhavato yatra Swastaye sarvadehinam Kripananam yata pitra Uttama shloka vartmanam Srivasudeva uvacha Bhagavan bhavato yatra Svastaye sarvadehinam Kripananam yata pitro Uttama shloka vartmanam Srivasudeva uvacha Bhagavan bhavato yatra Svastaye sarvadehinam Kripananam yata pitro Uttama shloka vartmanam Srivasudeva uvacha Bhagavan bhavato yatra Svastaye sarvadehinam Kripananam yata pitro
Translation, Sri Vasudeva said, My Lord, your visit, like that of a father to his children, is for the benefit of all living beings. You especially help the most wretched among them, as well as those who are advanced on the path toward the Supreme Lord, Uttama Shloka. Purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Vasudeva herein describes the glories of Narada Muni. The words Kripananam Yata Pitror Uttama Shloka Vartmanam are significant. Kripananam refers to the most wretched persons, whereas Uttama Shloka Vartmanam refers to the most fortunate, those who are advanced in Krishna consciousness. Sridhar Swami has stated, Tata Bhagavad Rupasya Bhavato Yatra Sarvadehinam Swastaya Iti. The word Bhagavad Rupasya indicates that Narada Muni is an expansion of the Supreme Lord and that his activities therefore bring immense benefit for all living beings. In the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Narada Muni is described as a manifestation of the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There it is stated that Narada is especially empowered to give instructions in the art of devotional service to Krishna. Narada is especially able to advise the conditioned souls as to how they can dovetail their present activities with the devotional service of Krishna without unnecessarily disrupting their present life. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati has defined the word Kripana by quoting from the Brihad Aranyaka Upanishad 3.9.10. Etad aksharam gargi avititva smal Lokat Praiti Sakripanaha. O daughter of Garga Acharya, he who leaves this world without learning about the infallible Supreme is a Kripana or miser. In other words, we are awarded the human form of life so that we may understand our eternal blissful relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As indicated in verse 2 of this chapter, by the word Indriyavan, the human body is specifically awarded so that we may serve the Supreme Lord, Krishna. This human form of body is the greatest fortune because the highly evolved intelligence of human life enables us to understand Krishna, the absolute truth. If we are unable to understand our eternal relationship with God, we shall derive no permanent benefit whatsoever in this present life, nor can we ultimately benefit others. One who receives a great treasure, but can neither use it himself nor dedicate it to the happiness of others, is called a miser. Therefore, a person who leaves this world without having understood his actual position as servant of God is called a kripana or miser. This verse states that Narada Muni is so empowered in the devotional service of Krishna that he can lift even miserly rascals out of their illusion. Just as a kind father goes to his child and wakes him from a distressing dream, a distressing nightmare. Our present materialistic life is just like a troublesome dream from which great souls such as Narada can wake us. Narada Muni is so powerful that even those already advanced in devotional service to Krishna can greatly enhance their spiritual position by hearing his instructions, as they will be given here in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, Sri Narada is the guru and father of all living beings who are originally devotees of the Lord, but who are now artificially attempting to enjoy the material world in the material bodies of human beings, animals, and so on. Om Agyana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militamena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. This verse is reminiscent of Garga Muni arriving at the house of Nanda Maharaj. Nanda Maharaj glorified Garga Muni as being a great saint. Great saints, he says, come to the homes of Grihamedis like us, give us enlightenment. So here Vasudev, who is a Grihastha, he's expressing his great fortune at getting the association of a great devotee. In the third canto, Vidura's conversation with Maitreya, Vidura says, Durapa hyalpa tapasa seva vaikanta varknasu yatra pogiyate nityam deva deva janardana. Says, unless those whose austerity is meager, alpatapasa, durapa hi alpatapasa, seva vaikunta vartmasu. It's extremely rare to get the association of vaikunta vartmasu, means those who are on the road, on the path back to Godhead. In other words, the pure devotees who are going back to Godhead. So to get their association is very difficult if one has meager austerities. Or we can also say meager punya. It's very difficult to get the association of a devotee. So in the purport to that verse, Srila Prabhupada says at the end of the purport, even if one has no assets of favorable austerity, if he nevertheless takes shelter of the Mahatmas who are engaged in chanting and hearing the glories of the Lord, he is sure to make progress on the path back home, back to Godhead. In other words, we don't have to question our good fortune. Sometimes we wonder, how is it possible to get the association of the great devotees if we have no previous good fortune? So our fortune is created. So Prabhupada is saying here, take advantage of it now that you have it. So this idea of the rarity, this is expressed in the beginning of this purport. And then we hear from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati about Kripana. I wonder if any of you, I'm sure maybe one or two of you here, may have recognized this verse from the Brihad Aranyaka Upanishad. Etadaksharam gargi avititva sma lokat praitisa kripana. Yes. Prabhupada quotes it in the Bhagavad Gita. He doesn't give the translation there. So this is one that says Kripana. And so it's quoted in the verse, Karpanya Dosho Pahata Subhava, where Arjuna calls himself a Kripana, basically. He says, because I'm a miser and Kripana intelligence, I don't know what to do, so please, I want you to become my spiritual master. Tell me what to do. So in that purport, Prabhupada quotes this verse from the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. The verse says, Gargi, actually it's being addressed to Gargi. Here it says daughter of Gargacharya, but I read somewhere else that she's in the line of Gargacharya, but not his direct daughter. So I'm not exactly sure. Sometimes even we say son of Bharata for Arjuna, but it doesn't mean exactly son, but son of the dynasty. In any case, this Gargi was a great philosopher. She's famous in this Upanishad. She asked some questions that none of the sages could figure out the answers to. She's extremely intelligent, Gargi. So it says, avititva smal lokat praiti sakripana. So one who has avititva, which means didn't learn the lessons of human life, didn't study the Vedas and understand, such a person, lokat praiti, leaving this world, a person who's in that condition, is a kripana. So later, the other part of the verse, or this section, and this is in prose, I assume, So it says, Vidittva Asmal, Loka Prati Sabrahmana. One who learns the lessons of human life and leaves this world is a Brahmana. So then here it just talks about Narada Muni, the rest of the purport tells us something about Narada Muni. Now Narada Muni here, it says that he is mentioned in the first canto as an empowered incarnation of the Lord. Different, in the beginning of creation, we know in the third chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, right in the beginning, Suta Goswami, after he tells us all about devotional service in the second chapter of the Bhagavatam, in the third chapter, he lists the avatars of the Lord. One of the questions the sages at Naimisharanya asked was, please talk about the incarnations of the Lord. So Suta Goswami right away starts talking about the incarnations. He gives a list. So first he talks about the Purusha avatars, Karnadakshaya Vishnu, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, Kshirodakshaya Vishnu. Then he gets into the Leela avatars. So in this book, I'm going to read something from this, Laghu Bhagavatamrita, which came out fairly recently. This Laghu Bhagavatamrita, if you don't know what it is, I think many of you are familiar with Sanatana Goswami's Brihad Bhagavatamrita, with Gopakumar, who travels all around. And that's the second part of the book, actually. The first part is Narada Muni trying to find out who is the greatest recipient of the Lord's mercy. So this book, it's called Bhagavatamrita, which means the nectar of the Bhagavatam. So it's a way of presenting the philosophy of the Bhagavatam in a kind of story form. So that was written by Sanatana Goswami. So Sanatana Goswami's younger brother and the devotee who considered Sanatana his guru was Rupa Goswami. So Rupa Goswami took the essence of Brihad Bhagavatamrita and wrote this other book called Laghu Bhagavatamrita. Brihad means great, and Laghu means, well, it means light, actually. It can also mean smaller. So it's a lighter book, because it's not so big. So in Laghu Bhagavatamrita, he takes the same points, and he doesn't tell any stories, Rupa Goswami. He just lists the facts, you might say. It's almost like a dictionary in certain ways. So it lists everything. So in describing the Leela avatars of the Lord, naturally he comes across Narada Muni. So the way this book, by the way, it has originally was written with a commentary by Baladev Vidyabhushana. So Gopi Puranadana Prabhu has written a commentary, so he's just more or less given Baladev Vidyabhushana's commentary to this particular book. Which is also what the way that Gopi Pranadana Prabhu, if the Gaudiya Vaishnava commentary was available, then he would follow it very closely, practically just translate the commentary. Now he came across, Gopi Pranadana Prabhu came, there was a challenge because among the Sundarbhas, the Shat Sundarbha, which he was going to, hopefully he was trying to translate and comment on all of them. So he did the Tattva Sundarbha, which had a commentary by also Baladev, right? Or Vishwanath, I'm forgetting. And Jiva Goswami also wrote his own somewhat of a commentary. So he had something to go on, you can say, Gopi Vrindavan Prabhu, when he wrote the commentary in the Tattva Sandarbha. The next Sandarbha is the Bhagavat Sandarbha, and there's no commentary by any of our acharyas. The only commentary on the Shat Sandarbha is Tattva Sandarbha commentary. There's no commentary on any of the other Sandarbhas. So when Gopi Pranadana Prabhu wrote the commentary on the Bhagavat Sandarbha, he was on his own, you might say. So now the BBT is looking for someone who's going to take over that, because it's not an easy thing to write commentary on Jiva Goswami, just to understand what he's saying. And you really need to be a Sanskrit scholar, because you have to consult other books and other commentaries on other Vedic literature and so on. So this book, Laghu Bhagavatamrita, has a commentary by Baladev Vidyabhushana. So what Baladev Vidyabhushana has done apparently, and Gopi Pranadana Prabhu is following his lead, is in this first part where it gives about the different, Rupa Goswami is talking about the different Leela avatars, when anyone is mentioned, then Baladev is giving information from other places to kind of fill it out, because Rupa Goswami just maybe quotes one verse about the person. And then he goes on to the next person. So in the purports, we get information about we're finding out where you can get more information about these particular incarnations of the Lord. So the purport on Narada Muni is quite extensive. I often mention how when you read the Bhagavatam, you see Narada Muni's everywhere in the Bhagavatam. So see how much you know the Bhagavatam, because I'm going to read this. It takes 5 minutes or so. It talks about all the different places where Narada appears in the Bhagavatam. Just one line, a part of the sentence mentions. And I think there are some missing, actually, because I know a few more that aren't mentioned here. But there's quite a few of them here. First, he mentions how Narada appears in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Of course, he's very extensively covered in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. So then in the Bhagavatam, so I'll read this here. It says, this is part 1, chapter 3 of Laghu Bhagavatamrita, text 6. So first, actually, just before this, in text 5, he quotes the verse from the Bhagavatam where Narada is mentioned, which is Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3.8. In the millennium of the rishis, the personality of God had accepted the third empowered incarnation in the form of Devarshi Narada, who was a great sage among the demigods. He spoke expositions of the Vedas which deal with devotional service and which inspire non-fruitive action. So Narada wrote, actually in the verse, I think, yes, it says there, Tantram Satvatam Achashta. So he wrote a Satvata Tantra. You may come across this phrase sometimes in Prabhupada's books. This verse is from the Satvata Tantra. So it can be a generic word. It means a tantra in the mode of goodness. Tantras are the procedures. We have mantras of verses. Tantras are procedures, how to do things. So Narada taught how to do devotional service in his Narada Pancharatra, which is a Satvata Tantra. So then I'll go into purport in the next verse. Narada appears frequently in Srimad Bhagavatam, most often in the role of an instructing spiritual master and divine messenger. He advised Dwaipayana Vedavyas to compile the Bhagavatam, first canto, and he gives exact locations for these. Just to save time, I'm just going to mention which canto it's in. He consoled Yudhishthira when Dhritarashtra left home, first canto, and warned him Krishna was about to finish his pastimes, first canto. He was also present when Shukadev spoke the Bhagavatam to Parikshit. That's also first canto. He inquired from his father, Brahma, about the Supreme Creator, second canto. He revealed to Hiranyaksha where to find Hiranyaksha's enemy, Vishnu. So this, of course, is a role Narada often plays, tells where to get the pastime going. Here's where you can find Vishnu. You want to kill him. That's in the third canto. He told Devahuti about Kardama Muni's good qualities. He's also a matchmaker, we see here and there. And informed Lord Shiva about his wife Sati's suicide, fourth canto. He preached to Dhruva, fourth canto, and to Dhruva's father, Uttanapad, fourth canto. And he praised Dhruva in the assembly of the Prachetas, fourth canto. He enlightened King Prachinabarhi with the story of Puranjana, fourth canto. So that's six chapters or so. Instructed the Prachetas on how to attain the Supreme, fourth canto, and became the spiritual master Priyavrata, fifth canto. Every time when I read these things, I want to say something. Take me forever to get through it. But. Anyway, the fifth canto begins, Narada's, his disciple is Priyavrata, but there, he's being asked to be the ruler of the world, and Priyavrata doesn't really want to do it. Because Narada is teaching him, as he often does, to be renunciant. So anyway, of course, Lord Brahma personally comes and says, please do it, and then he does it. So Narada taught the principles of the Narada Pancharatra to Savarni Manu, and always sings Lord Ananta's glories in Brahma's assembly. Those are both in the fifth canto. After inspiring the thousands of Haryashvas and Sabalashvas to renounce material life, he received a curse in return from their father, Daksha. He related the history of King Chitraketu to Shukadev, sixth canto. He and Angira Muni preached to Chitraketu when the king was lamenting his own son's death, sixth canto. He initiated Chitraketu into the worship of Lord Ananta. Sixth canto. He gave him a mantra. He said, after six nights of chanting this mantra, you'll be able to see perfected living beings. He became a ruler of a planet just by chanting mantra for 6 nights. He was given the mantra by Narada, Chichaketu, and brought Chichaketu's son back to life. At Maharaj Yudhisthira's Rajasuya sacrifice, Narada explained to him why Krishna awarded liberation to his enemies. Shishupala and Dantavakra, that's the beginning of the seventh canto. In explaining how the Vaikuntha gatekeepers Jaya and Vijaya were cursed to become demons, he narrated Prahlad's life story to Yudhisthira. That's 11 chapters, the seventh canto. Narada prevented Indra from arresting Hiranyakashipu's pregnant wife, kept her safely in his ashram, and imparted transcendental knowledge to Prahlad in her womb. Also the seventh canto. During the battle between Bali and Indra, after Indra had killed Jambhasura, Narada informed Jambhasura's friends and relatives of his death. Then on behalf of Lord Brahma, he asked the demigods to stop the battle before they entirely destroyed the dynasty of the demons. Those battles are in the eighth canto. Lots of battles there. He also advised Harishchandra to take Lord Varuna's help in obtaining a son. Ninth canto. Just before Krishna's birth, now we're getting into the tenth canto. Just before Krishna's birth, Narada warned Kamsa that the demoniac persons who were a great burden on the earth would be killed. Narada cursed Kuvera's sons after they had publicly bathed naked in the company of young girls. He also led the Gandharvas, Vidyadharas, Siddhas, and Charanas in singing the praises of Giridhari at his coronation as Govinda, Lord of the Cows. He led the kirtan. Narada divulged to Kamsa the secret that Krishna, Balaram, and Subhadra were really Vasudeva's children. He recounted to Krishna the pastimes Krishna would perform in Mathura and Dwaraka, and he gave information to Kali Yavana that impelled him to attack Krishna at Mathura. He told Mayavati, who was living as a maidservant of Shambhara, that the infant given to her, which had been found in the belly of a fish, was actually her husband, Cupid. To Krishna and his parents and queens, Narada explained this amazing rebirth of Cupid as Pradyumna. He gave news to the Vrishnis of Aniruddha's capture by Banasura, and told the Yadus about Samba's capture by the Kurus, and visited Krishna in his many palaces in Dwaraka. Narada informed Krishna that Yudhisthira Maharaj was eager to perform the Rajasuya sacrifice. He spoke of Krishna's glories in the presence of Princess Lakshmana, and with a number of other great sages, he came to Kurukshetra to be with Krishna and his devotees during a solar eclipse. With other sages, Narada traveled on Krishna's chariot to Videha. We heard about that just recently. Another time he inquired from Lord Naranarayana about how the absolute truth, who is beyond words, can be described by the Vedas. The Lord replied by recounting the prayers of the personified Vedas. Asked by Vrikasura which of the three lords of the universe can be most easily pleased, he told Vrika to worship Lord Shiva. Narada and other sages cursed the impetuous young Vrishnis, which led to the destruction of their dynasty. He instructed Vasudeva in pure devotional service by relating the discussion of King Nimi with the nine Yogendras. Krishna personally glorified Narada by telling Uddhava, Devarshinam Naradoham, I am Narada Namuni among saintly demigods. So that's Narada Muni, an exceptional personality, spiritual master to so many great devotees. It said in the purport here that he was empowered to give the different empowered incarnations. So he's a Shaktyavesh avatar. And what the particular Shakti has is Bhakti Shakti. The four Kumaras who were born before him, they were given the Shakti to for philosophical speculation, jnana shakti. They're filled with jnana shakti. But Narada, he came a little later, he was filled with bhakti shakti. Incidentally, as I was reading this Laghu Bhagavatamrita, I've always wondered if the sunna part of the four chatu sunna, they call the chatu sunna, the four kumaras, each name begins with sunna. Sanat Kumar, Sanatan Kumar, Sanandara Kumar, and Sanandara Kumar. So each begins with sunna. So I always wondered if there was some specific significance to that sunna part. But in Laghu Bhagavatamrita, the only significance that Rupa Goswami gives is that each one's name begins with sunna. That's why they're called the Chatusan Kumar, because it just happens to be that their names begin with that. So they're the four sunnas. I thought maybe some Sanskrit, had something to do with some Sanskrit significance, but apparently not. It's just their names. That's why they're called the Chatusanas. So they're empowered with Jnana Shakti. Narada Muni is empowered with Bhakti Shakti. So let me just read this. I'll read this second verse again. Sri Vasudeva said, "My Lord, your visit, like that of a father to his children, is for the benefit of all living beings. You especially help the most wretched among them, as well as those who are advanced on the path toward the Supreme Lord, Uttama Shloka." Any discussion? Anagovinda Prabhu? Oh, let's start with Madhumati this time. In my peripheral vision, I don't know. See.
I just had a question. You mentioned that Nard spoke to Shukdev Goswami about Chitraketu in the sixth canto?
No, he spoke to Chitraketu. Oh, let me look at it again.
About something.
Yes. Actually, now I'm remembering. Shukadeva is speaking to Parikshit, and after he tells the story of Chitraketu, he says, "I heard this story from Narada Muni."
Oh.
That's how it happens at the very end of the pastime.
I was wondering, where did that discussion happen? Because he's talking to Maharaj Parikshit.
Yeah.
When did Narada speak to Shukadeva Goswami? So that's how it is.
He just mentions it.
Okay. Thank you.
A nice purport that you just read, that like a loving father, affectionate father, we accept the child from his distressed condition of nightmare.
Yes.
So, all the human beings in Alachua, they're also moving, driving, talking, walking. We are also driving, talking, walking, eating. So, when this line is mentioned that Narada Muni can wake up us, means that the awareness, the consciousness behind this body is actually that wake up. Because what's the difference with the others?
Oh, waking up. Yeah, of course. I mean, now we're not awake. We're dreaming. This world is, even this is a daydream. We have night dream, daydream, Prabhupada said. This is a daydream. Because this is not real. In one sense, it's real. But because it's temporary, it's not real. Our so-called awakened life. So we're not awake. To awake means to be awake in Krishna consciousness, awake to our relationship with Krishna. So it's extremely rare. Actually, there's a point I was going to make is, I had too many things I wanted to cover, but I'll mention it now. This idea of the rarity, because this is mentioned here also how rare it is to get the association of the devotees. After the story of Chitraketu, we hear how, actually, the story is kind of told backwards, sort of, because you hear about the battle first, and then Chitraketu dies, and then Parikshit asks Shukadev, actually, he asks why, how is it that he was such a great devotee? He was a demon, Vritrasura, he was a demon, but as revealed in the pastime, he's reciting all these prayers and glorifying the Lord and glorifying the Vaishnavas, and he's telling Indra, just kill me because I want to go back to Godhead. So Parikshit Maharaj says, how is it he's such a great devotee? In the beginning of that chapter, I think it's chapter 14 of the sixth canto, he explains how rare it is. And in one of the first verses, he says there is many, raja is the word he uses, which I guess means particles, because we think of it as dust, raja. that there are many living entities in the universe as there are atoms. So, whoa. And he says some of those get a human birth, and a very, very tiny portion of them take up any kind of religious life, spiritual life. And among those, there are some who have some vague idea about liberation, and there are those who understand what liberation really is. And each one of those, there's a minute portion of those. And then of those who are actually perfect, Muktanam Apisiddhanam Narayana Parayana, Sudulabha Prashantatma Kotishvapi Mahamune. So this is quite a famous verse. So there he says, among so many millions of siddhas, it's very rare to find one who's actually a devotee of the Lord. Now Prabhupada translates this word Kotishu, which means millions, millions in the plural, and then there's a footnote there in the sixth canto, and it says, when millions is in the plural, Kotishu is in the plural, then it means millions and trillions. So Prabhupada translates it like that. Among millions and trillions of siddhas, one will find a pure devotee of the Lord. So how rare is a pure devotee, and how rare is it there are as many living entities as there are jivas in this universe to get the association of a devotee? So, and then it said, you know, one has to have some background of austerity or punya, but we can, as Prabhupada pointed out, whether you have it or not, take advantage of it. Somehow or other, yadrichaya, somehow or other, if one gets the association of the pure devotee, one has to take advantage of it because it's so rare. We hear sudurlabha, extremely rare, so this is an idea how rare it is. Just to get a human birth is so rare. It's almost as if our position is to be in this world because we're here so long. We say nitya buddha, and our karma is called anadi karma. It goes back and back and back and back and back. So to get out is a rare, rare thing. And get the association of the Mahatma is such a rare thing.
I was thinking, like, during the dream, I'm reflecting myself, that maybe I'm involved or I'm controlling, I'm doing some sadhana, something. But when I came out of that dream, I see that actually I didn't have any control. I don't have any control. It was like a hypnotism, you know, like automatically happened. But now I'm awake, but here I can use my free will to serve.
Yes.
So when you say wake up, or like when Prabhupada used that word, jagrita, what is literally differ from the other existence?
Well, we, just like we were saying, we're aware in some sense, but we're aware of this body. We're not aware of transcendence. So it's a kind of wakefulness. It's a wakefulness in the context of the others. We have, what is it called? The jagrati and swapna and sushupti, these three stages of consciousness, then turiya, which is the fourth stage. So the real awakened stage is turiya, when you're in the fourth stage of transcendence. Actually, that word is used, I think the word is used specifically in the pastime of Shamika Rishi, Pariksha Maharaj, putting the snake on Shamika Rishi. He was in meditation. It says that he was in that fourth stage when he was meditating. He was in transcendence during his meditation. So he was awake, but he wasn't awake to what was going on outside. He didn't know that Pariksha Maharaj had arrived at his ashram. So that we can say there's a certain sense in which we're awake. We don't cultivate spiritual life in our dreams. Of course, we may dream of we're in kirtan, or dream we're in class or giving class. I sometimes dream like that, that I'm giving class or leading a kirtan. Not enough, but once in a while. So, but it's not like we're cultivating spiritual life exactly in our dreams. Maybe as we're more advanced in spiritual life. Because there's also something people practice this, actually. Vivid dreaming. You may have experienced also, I know I have experienced, I mean, the one very common dream is to think you're flying. Your body, you jump up and you start flying. And sometimes you can kind of control it. You kind of stay up there a little bit in your dream. You sort of know you're dreaming, but you sort of stay up there. So maybe there's a little tiny bit of control. So even in our waking life, we think we have control of everything, but we only actually have a little tiny bit of control. But still, that can be used. We have some freedom. Vyasadeva makes this point in the Vedanta Sutra. Because the question is, does a living entity have free will? So he makes the point, and Baladeva Vidyabhushan, his commentary, expands on it. If we didn't have free will, what would be the point of Scripture telling us to do this or do that? It's giving us a choice. So if we didn't have a choice, if we didn't have free will, why are the Vedas giving us a choice? So for the Vedas to have meaning, then we have to have free will. That's the argument that Vyasadeva makes. So in our awakened life, we have some, what we call our awake life, we have some freedom to make choice like that. But we don't have complete freedom. All our freedom is dependent, ultimately, of course, on Krishna. Vishakha Mataji wrote an article on Do We Have Free Will? It's coming up in a future BTG. All right, let's stop here. Oh, Jagatnaga Prabhu.
You were discussing how it's rare that a living entity will even take up devotional service, but to speak of achieve perfection and go back to Godhead. Just a little doubt or question. Many times Prabhupada would state in letters, or in some way would say, that in this one lifetime, if you just follow regulative principles, chant 16 rounds, you'll go back to Godhead in this lifetime and do some service. Is it only Prabhupada that has opened that express lane? Or did Lord Chaitanya, when he inaugurated the Harinam Sankirtan?
Yes, it comes from Lord Chaitanya, ultimately.
But
and also this idea out of millions and trillions, that really has to do with so many jnanis. You know, Bahunam Janmanam Ante Jnanavan Manprapatyate. It's not about sadhana bhaktas. Those who are sadhana bhaktas under the path of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the odds are much better, you can say. Much, much better. So yes, of course, Lord Chaitanya, he freely gave Krishna Prema. So Nityananda, so many of Lord Chaitanya's associates, they freely gave Krishna Prema. So they're empowering, giving special dispensation in this age of Kali because we're so fallen. And so that power is coming. Yeah, Lord Chaitanya is, of course, ultimately the power to do it is coming from Lord Chaitanya, who is Krishna. So Prabhupada is... Because the pure devotee, he can, Krishna say to Amar, Krishna dite par. Bhaktivinoda says in one song, Krishna is yours, you can give him to others. So how does one get bhakti? One gets it from the pure devotee, from Krishna's empowered representative. So if Prabhupada says, do this, and you'll go back to Godhead, then if we do this, we'll go back to Godhead. Course means doing these things, but you know, we have to read Prabhupada's books and understand really what it means. Just like to chant 16 rounds without offense, as Prabhupada said in many letters. So it's not such an easy thing, attentively and so on, to do it right. We can't just do anything. I think sometimes maybe this idea comes in, that's all I need to do. Okay, I got my rounds done, and I didn't break any regulative principles, so I had a perfect day today. So I just keep doing this. Well, you have to really chant without it. Because what is one of the offenses? To maintain material attachment. Sometimes we see devotees chanting their rounds at the grocery store or something. That's probably not such a good thing. We should chanting our rounds means we chant in a good atmosphere. At least put ourselves in a good atmosphere to hear our rounds. Our mind is always going to be a problem. But at least externally, we should try to create a situation, favorable situation for chanting that's helpful. So yeah, chant 16 rounds, follow the root of the principles, go back to Godhead, but we have to do it right. Madamati?
I have a question.
Narada Muni. You mentioned that Narada Muni is Bhakti Shakti.
Mm-hmm.
And we understand from the Bhagavatam that, and he also mentioned it was Shakti Avishavatar. I was trying to understand his position, because he gives devotion to everybody. seems like he had describes his past life in the heavenly planets where he fell down or whatever, singing.
Yeah.
And then he was cursed, I think, or maybe to take birth in the womb of a maidservant. I don't know if I'm saying it correctly. But basically trying to understand his position. Is he a jiva, or is he eternal? Or he's certainly an amazing personality, so...
From what I understand, now for one thing we can understand his position by looking at Srivas Thakur, because Narada Muni is Srivas Thakur, so he's part of the Panchatattva. So in that sense we can say he represents the Jiva Tattva. So he's a Jiva, but in one sense it seems like he's more than a Jiva also. And it's, as far as I understand, he is a Nitya Siddha Jiva. And for Leela, he comes into this world and goes through these different, this progression that he makes. In that sense, I'm pretty sure Prahlad and maybe also Narada, Prabhupada says, is a mixed sadhana siddha and nitya siddha. You think, well, how could it be mixed? So, because playing the role sometimes of the sadhana siddha. Yeah, Prahlad, does it say Narada there? There it says Prahlad. Thus he is compared to such devotees as Narada. Yeah, so he does say there. There are two classes of devotees, a sadhana siddha and a nitya siddha. Prahlad Maharaj is a mixed siddha. That is, he is perfect partly because of executing devotional service and partly because of eternal perfection. Thus he is compared to such devotees as Narada. So Narada and Prahlad, somehow this works. Sometimes the logic doesn't seem to work. If you're Nitya Siddha, how can you be Sadhana Siddha at the same time? Huh? At least my brain doesn't quite accommodate it. But only in the way that I explained it, playing the role of a sadhana. Of course, you also, in one sense, when you're Siddha, then you're Nitya Siddha, because there's no time in Turiya. So you can say, when the sadhana siddha becomes perfect, then he's nitya siddha also, in a sense, at least. The technicalities here. What does it say about Narada? Formerly, Narada Muni was the son of a maidservant, and therefore in his next birth he attained perfection, sadhana siddhi, because of having executed devotional service. Yet he is also a nitya siddha, because he never forgets the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this verse is, for those listening, it's 7:10:13, if you want to look this up. Okay. Oh. Yamaraj Prabhu.
Thank you for your class. When you mentioned about chanting in the grocery store, I remember Prabhupada saying that... we should chant all the time. And sometimes, if you notice, when you're in the grocery store, so many advertisements, so many distractions and everything. So it might be a good thing to chant while you're walking around in a grocery store.
Well, I'm making a distinction here.
So I'm not chanting your regular round.
We should chant 24 hours, but you don't, keep your japa leftovers for your drive and your grocery shopping.
Right.
Say, well, I can save time. I'll just, I got to go out anyway, so I'll just chant my rounds then.
That's inattentive.
No, that's a different thing. Otherwise, just like in Prabhupada, he appreciated Jayananda Prabhu was chanting while he was driving the taxi. So I doubt he was chanting his rounds. I think he was singing Hare Krishna. So, 24 hours a day we chant Hare Krishna, but our japa should be, supposed to be a meditation. So people sit down and meditate, and they sit in lotus position, and they close their eyes. And our acharyas sometimes recommend pranayama to chant japa. That Prabhupada didn't recommend that. He didn't want us to get sidetracked. But if it helps to calm the mind, well, it's supposed to be a meditation. Otherwise, yes, 24 hours a day we chant. All right, see the Prabhupada ki jai.